Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Unfortunately, Atrell Courts, Prince B, died this weekend at 46 from complications due to diabetes. So I just wanted to set adrift on the memory bliss before we started the show. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And, yeah, I couldn't believe it either that old Prince B is gone. I know most folks know him for their songs, Set Adrift on Memory Bliss, which samples that Spandau Ballet's True. I'm not going to do it. I Die Without You. That was the only two songs I know. I can't say that I particularly cared for their music, but at the same time, you know, I can respect, you know, them as the artist, and I respect the human being, and, you know, shout out to the family and friends who lost a good friend. I'm just the whole at 46 dying of complications due to diabetes. I'm like, man, that's manageable. You know, it's way too many people dying young. It's not, they're not dying old from natural causes. They're dying from stuff that's manageable. But not going to start off the show all sad and preachy, as I may be called from time to time. Shout out to the Cavs, LeBron James, winning the championship. That was a epic series. I don't even know. I mean, that was the most force I've ever seen that brother play with. It was like, dude was possessed. He was like, he had the eye of the tiger. The, you know, just that fierceness was in him. It's like, they won't talk trash to him no more. And it was funny because got off the plane and the t-shirt he had on was the real Ultimate Warrior. I'm like, wow, they're digging deep. They are digging deep. I mean, I'm in the Bay Area, so it was very, very quiet here after the game. It was like, it was very, very quiet. But I would be remiss without saying that this is the Smooth Drama. Angel Gonzalez can't hit a finger roll from the free throw line show. Trust me. It's just funny for no reason whatsoever. But if you had seen my homie try to shoot that finger roll as he took off from the free throw line, And I guess maybe he had watched one of them videos of Dr. J that was floating around this morning. And he finger rolled it. It was pretty. Till it actually hit the rim and clanged off. So, yeah. He just sent me a lovely message, too. And in the immortal words of Eddie Murphy in Coming to America, yes, yes, fuck you too. Anyway, I'm sorry, that had to happen. Oh man, was at the Wizard World Comic Con this past weekend. Those of you who don't know, not to toot my own horn or anything, I'll let somebody else toot it for me. I'm a comic book publisher, National Press Comics, and you know, we make comics and sell them. We're a publisher, and so we're there. And there are some unique people who go to comic book conventions. I don't know if folks understand how cool it is you go, because folks dress up and they are all kinds of amazing creatures, and they go all out to be their fairy characters. There was one guy in particular. If you're a listener and you're my friend on Facebook, there's a guy we called the Moist Guy, because he was dressed, well, he wasn't dressed up. He just had on some makeup with some blood in his goatee, and it was like his blood and beard was moist with the blood all day, because he walked around like that for like 7 hours straight. We just kept seeing him, like, as age said, hey, homie's still moist. It's like the craziest thing ever. So if you're my friend, please go to my Facebook Smooth Drama profile page and check out the Moist Dude. He I took a video of him. It's amazing. And that dude, and the funny thing is, he was there the next day without the makeup, and he looked the same. I'm wrong, but he did look the same. But I'd be remiss without saying that I wished more of. More black people would go to comic book convention. I mean, it's good for the kids. They get a chance to express and find whatever they like as far as their imagination goes. There's video games, there's of course comics, there's some of the stars that you like, you get a chance to dress up, see folks dressed up, you take pictures. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. I encourage that because for me, it's like the last bastion of readers, which is so important. And, you know, kids love comics. And if you can get your kid, you can encourage them to just read on their own by any means necessary. If that can help, why not? I'm just saying. I'm disappointed when I don't see more black folks at the comic book conventions. I really am, because it's like you would love it, and your kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, they would love it. And I also want to give a special shout out to those people who do come to the comic book conventions, you know, black folks in particular, and they're like scared to talk to other black people behind the table because it might confirm that you're black. Maybe you're not, you haven't told the people that you hang around with that you're actually black, and maybe you don't believe it. And so if you talk to black people behind the booth, it might confirm it. And then you might like, oh my God, I am black. And I don't know, maybe your head will explode or something like that. I want to give a shout out to those people that walk by and pretend like they didn't see you, and they would be with a partner of another race, and that partner would stop, and then it'd be awkward because they're like pretending like they can't see us. We're standing right there, and you can see us because we can see you. The invisible ink didn't work. I just want to shout them people out. That's all, because they deserve a special shout out. Sort of like the guy Nagel in The Professor. Professor Nagel. I want to say it right, who in New York City, he donates his sperm in city bathrooms and has sired 22 kids. Now, unlike past show guest Trent Arsenault, who does the same thing and has, I think, like 19 or 20 kids so far, and who also donates, Professor Nagel, he has his own kid, first and foremost, and he also does it the old-fashioned way. There's like lesbians who are looking to conceive, and apparently they would have their partner in the bed for moral support while she and Nagel engage in intercourse. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but that just sounds like a good old-fashioned threesome. It's like they're in the bed, and it's like, well, hold my hand as he, and it's like one of my favorite movies, She Hate Me, where they paid homie $25,000 a pop, was it 15, 25, I don't know, I can't remember. To impregnate lesbians. And I'm like, he does it the old-fashioned way, but he uses public bathrooms like those at Target and Starbucks too, so he can give them to ovulating women. So what he does it by his home in Brooklyn, and since some mamas, he offers that you can come to his house and do it, which some folks ain't down with, so he does it in public. And so he'll go into the bathroom, pleasure himself while watching porn on his iPhone, and then ejaculate into his Instead soft cup, which is supposedly a type of menstrual cup. And then he then delivers it to the lady, who goes into the woman's restroom and inserts it into their cervix. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of awesome. I'm just saying. Now, for the listeners, if you're a male, would you do this? Would you be a donor? I mean, if the conditions are that you don't have to take care of the kid, whatnot, to lesbians. I'm thinking there are a lot of guys that be like, yeah, and I wouldn't be shocked if there's some dudes that's like, nah, I can't do that. But I would take a guess that there are a lot of guys who'd be like, you know what? I would do that to be able to help folks bring life into the world. Because, I mean, if we're saying this and we're just talking about being humanitarians, right? Basically, I'm helping bring life. I mean, I know for me personally, it sounds like it'd be fun, but then at the same time, it sounds like it'd be kind of hectic. Like you're getting hit from women from all over, and there are some who, you know, want it the old-fashioned way, and then you got others where you gotta like in the public bathroom and let it off, and then I don't know if I could perform in the bathroom like that. That's like almost like heroic stature type performance there. I mean, because you got to be like, bam, 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 make it happen. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. So I give a shout out. I mean, one, homie is not in trouble with his job or anything. But we're talking about a professor who's donating sperm. And the public knows, in city bathroom, got 22 kids. Now, I mean, I could play the race card and say, well, if it was a black man that did that, he'd probably be in jail. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to say the fact that this dude is not in trouble and he's a professor, I'm like, more power to him. Seems like an interesting job. And I guess because he's a professor, he's doing well financially, so he can go ahead on and pop those off like that. Anyway, I got to get off here. I'm going to break. This is J. Cole. No role models.
I get my bitch pregnant, I'ma be a better you. Prophecies that I made way back in the field. Fulfilled. Listen, even back when we was broke, my team ill. Martin Luther King would've been on Dreamville. Talk to him, nigga. One time for my L.A. sisters. One time for my L.A. hoes. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows.
Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved, don't save her. She don't wanna be saved.
No role models, and I'm here right now. No role models to speak of. Searching through my memory, I couldn't find one. Last night I was getting my feet rubbed by the baddest bitch. Not Trina, but I swear to God, this bitch will make you call your girl up and tell her, hey, what's good? Sorry, I'm never coming home, I'ma stay for good. Then hang the phone up and proceed to lay the wood. I came fast like 911 in white neighborhoods. Ain't got no shame about it. She think I'm spoiled and I'm rich cause I can have any bitch. I got defensive and said, nah, I was the same without it. But then I thought back to a better me. Before I was a B-list celebrity. Before I started calling bitches so heavily. That's when you could get a platinum plaque without no melody. You wasn't sweating me. One time for my L.A. sisters. One time for my L.A. hoes. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows.
Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved.
I want a real love. Dark skin and active love. That Jada in that real love. That leave a toothbrush at your crib, love. And you ain't gotta wonder whether that's your kid, love. Nigga, I don't want no bitch from reality shows. Out of touch with reality hoes. Out in Hollywood, bringing back 5 or 6 hoes. Fuck them, then we kick them to the door. Nigga, you know how it goes. She deserve that. She a bird, it's a bird trap. You think if I didn't rap, she would flirt back. Taking off a skirt, let her wear my shirt. But she leave, I'ma need my shirt back. Nigga, you know how it goes. One time for my L.A. sisters. One time for my L.A. hoes. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows.
Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once. Shame on you. It fooled me, can't get fooled again.
Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. Fool me 3 times, fuck the peace sign, Lord. Chopper, let it rain on you. Fool me once, time, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. Fool me three times, fuck the peace sign. Load the chopper, let it rain on you. My only regret was too young for me to relate. My only regret was too young for me alone. Now I'm left with his hoes from reality shows. Hand on a script, a bitch probably couldn't read alone. My only regret was too young for Sade to do. My only regret could never take a Leah home. Now I'm left with his hoes up in Greystone. Stale face, cause they know it's day song. She's shallow with the pussy, she's shallow. She's shallow. She's shallow with the pussy, she's shallow. She's shallow with the pussy, she's shallow. She's shallow. She's shallow.
Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved.
Together you got to move, drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was J. Cole, Role Model. Don't save her. She don't want to be saved. Don't save her. Does she want to be saved? Anyway, speaking of want to be saved, I don't know if y'all saw the homie from Star Trek, Anton Yelchin, just killed, ran over by his car, his SUV, supposedly what, and I'll say this, what happened was, so I can be in touch with my blackness, what had happened was, he was gotten out of his car, allegedly, and the car rolls back and smashes him against his brick mailbox pillar and security fence at his home in Los Angeles. Now, they say that the SUV that he drives is supposedly in recall. As apparently this recall is saying that it just is caused by shifters or something like that. And they say to make sure that these recall vehicles, they're in park before exiting and to use the parking brake like what most normal folks do, but apparently these cars are just predisposed to running your ass over. Now, what they don't talk about, and the police are saying, well, we don't know how he got behind the car so he can get smashed up against the mailbox pillar fence in the gate. Now, I have a theory. I don't know about anybody else. I mean, I may or may not be predisposed to being a conspiracy theorist, but it just seems to me him getting out of the car and getting behind the car that he allegedly left in park, but because this car is in recall, it could just slip out of its gears, it's whatever it's in, whatever park mode, it just run you over and smash you up against the fence. I mean, it doesn't sound strange to you until you actually say it, that he got out of the car that is in recall because it slips out of gear. So it's not in park anymore. It goes into reverse or neutral and runs you over and smashes you up against the fence. Now, if, and I said it twice, if that doesn't sound weird to you, I don't know. You're probably a little bit more of a suspension of belief type of person. And these type of things, they're normal to you. But for me, I would guess that he probably owed somebody some money or something like that. And he may have gotten a little belligerent. I ain't paying you. I mean, allegedly speaking, I don't know, but the whole him getting out the car and getting behind the car and the car mysteriously running him and smashing him into his gate fence mailbox, I'm not buying that one. That one sounds a tad bit fishy, but that's just me. I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm probably not, but I could be. And it's just not right. Like Darren McFadden slipping in the house and breaking his elbow. So that just happens to world-class athletes who have great publicists. I think that was that old Hitler that I always quote, the bigger the lie, the more people will believe. I mean, if you believe these lies, and hey, I mean, and now I know most folks have seen the little ads, well, not ads, news stories talking about Michael Jackson and the underage sex photo collection that is newly released from the police report from 2003. Apparently, he had the sizable collection of pornographic material at his Neverland Ranch. And this is going to the police reports as they catalog the property following the search of the residence. And they said there was books and videos that were also detailed in the court papers. And, you know, this was after the boy came forward claiming they had been sexually abused and assaulted by the singer on multiple occasions. The police report claimed that in his bedroom and bathroom alone, there were at least 7 collections of work found by investigators that show boys in their teenage years and in some cases younger, fully nude or partially clothed. And they say one of his collections is described in court papers as nude photos of teenage boys from the late 1800s. Yeah. So, and if you've read the comments, you know, there's the folks who say, well, it's taken out of context. You know, y'all don't understand it all. And it wasn't just in the bathroom near. It was all over the house. And it wasn't necessarily by the boys, whatnot. Now, I hate to speak ill of the dead. But, you know, hey. Circumstantial evidence, sure. But. And I know we can say that, well, you look at him, he was messed up in the head, obviously, because of what he did to himself, because he went from looking normal to looking like no other human on earth. I'm just saying that where there's smoke, there's fire, and we're talking about an individual that we know wasn't necessarily thinking right, and he was weird. Now, whether it's true or not, we don't know. But the folks who just defend viciously, just, you know, there's no way. And I'm like, really? I mean, because we know he hung around a lot of little kids. And I mean, as an educator, I've hung around some kids, but I've hung around some females too, which seemed to have been in a short supply when it came to Mr. Jackson. It was just all little kids. I don't know. I'll just say that I wouldn't be shocked that it was true. I wouldn't be shocked that it's not true. At this point, he knows. Those around him knew. And the folks were saying, well, look how they're vilifying him. Like they vilified Bill Cosby after the fact. I'm like, hey, that's what happened. You know, you're a black celebrity. Your life is on call. There's no privacy. I mean, shit, you're a celebrity. There are how many shows out there? I mean, I call them stalker shows. TMZ, Extra Edition. I mean, it's so many shows whose main function is stalking, because y'all gotta have it. Y'all gotta have that info. You want to see what the stars are doing. And it's funny because there's the new commercials that they're talking about, that they have with Draymond Green and Kyrie Irving, where Draymond Green is making a sandwich. It's like, you get unprecedented coverage. Draymond Green making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He's just looking like, y'all some sorry bastards. you got to have it. You got to have that info, and that's why you have these shows. They exist because that's what y'all want to see. Y'all want quote unquote famous folks' business to be your business. You got to have it. I mean, I like cracking up about some of the stuff that they do. But as far as attacking folks, persons, I mean, unless it's something that coincides with them abusing, raping, i.e. Bill Cosby, and folks like that. And when I hear the unadulterated love for these pedophile rapists, I'm like, come on, really? Because folks can sing and they've been in some movies that you like, you just gonna co-sign on everything they do? I mean, because we talk about Michael Jackson. If Michael Jackson couldn't sing, he wasn't the greatest performer ever, and he just did what he did to himself, and that stuff came out with him and little boy, he'd been in jail long time ago, throwing away the key. And nobody would have cared. It just, he got that magic voice. And so folks, you know, like, oh, they just fuck with Mike. Mike not black, wasn't a black man no more. Mike was something. Don't know what he was, but he was something. I mean, Bill Cosby, once again, he's raping folks. I mean, the power, taking advantage of folks. That's where I'm like, you know, because that's what that is. You want to take advantage of people. That's why you want to have that power. You know, it's like I always say, you know, the whole integration was about rights. You have the same rights as everyone else in the nation. Not to be like your oppressor and want to be in power and screw people over. Instead, you're just like your oppressor. And we have this. So when you get to the highest levels, when you get great performers, folks who are rich, your R. Kelly's, their tendencies, their wants, they come out. the wants, warts, whichever one you want to call them, nasty predilections. I'm using big words today. I apologize, but I don't. You don't know what it means. Doesn't matter to me. You got online dictionaries. Anyway, the fact that these folks do these type things and folks co-sign on it just because they can sing, it is disturbing. It's the most disturbing thing that I find. Like, come on. I mean, for me, yeah, they're ruining the legacy. But them cats don't help. they don't help in the battle. I mean, because you can't defend that. I mean, but you can, because y'all want to defend that just because. But I'm not defending no rapists or molesters and dudes who pee on little girls. I'm not defending that. Yeah, they make a good song. I mean, and I like some Michael Jackson music. Love it. I like some R. Kelly's music. I loved a lot of stuff that Bill Cosby did. But at the end of the day, shit, that shit is creepy. There ain't no other way to call it, but that shit is creepy. And if you don't think it's creepy, something wrong with you. But I'm going to move on to more cheerful things, like beating kids in Detroit. Tiffany Eaton, who was fired for using a broom to break up a fight in her classroom, and she's now offered her job back. She made her statement where she sued the Education Achievement Authority in federal court. Year ago, alleging that the district violated her civil rights and failed to warn her about the violent conditions at Pershing High School where she taught. See, what happened, there's a cell phone video of a fight that happened between two boys in her classroom, and it went viral. It showed the students throwing punches, falling in the desk and onto the floor, and Eaton Davis hit one with the broom, like, hey, break that shit up. He said she tried to call security on the walkie-talkie when the fight broke out, got no response, so she used the broom as a last resort. And because she broke up the fight with a broom, she was fired. The district later said she could come back to work at any EEAA school, but she declined. And what did she get? She settled for $390K, and I'm like, man, which is basically for a teacher that's like 10 years salary. I'm like, so all the fights, I'm sitting up there like, all the fights I've broken up, if I had hit one of them with the broom, I'd have got fired and I could have got $390K. I need a time machine. I'm going back and I'm hitting somebody with the broom. I'm like, please fire me so I can sue and I can retire. I mean, she got $390K because she said the district violated her civil rights and failed to warn her about the violent conditions at the school where she taught. Because, yeah, nobody thinks that in high school it could get a little violent at school. Yeah. Yeah, I never knew that either. $390K. I'm like next year I might have to bring a broom to school or holler at the janitor, hey, let me and I say this nicely, let me hold something. That's a funny joke, just for no reason whatsoever. Anyway, yeah. So, if you're working in the school system, if you want to get paid, there's a fight. Go and hit one of the kids with a broom so you can get fired and you can sue. All you have to do is say you didn't know nothing about the violent conditions at the school where you where you're teaching that, educating that, and boom. You got a chance to get some cash. It's kind of sad, actually. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. Woo! Probably going to need to go ahead on and take a break here. I'm going to get deep here for a second. This is my main man, Red Cloud, Battle of the Little Bighorn, because I like this type of stuff.
In late 1875, Sioux and Cheyenne Indians defiantly led their reservations, outraged over the continued intrusions of whites into their sacred lands in the Black Hills. As the Indians closed in, Custer ordered his men to shoot their horses and stack their carcasses to form a wall. In less than an hour, Custer and his men were killed in the worst American military disaster ever.
Sitting in the east down the distant grass plain, visions of Custer's skull as an incense ashtray. Sweet grass and sage by the spearhead's blade. Blazing arrows in the sky lit by clear red flames. Rivers crystal blue, lakeside but ever blue. No room forever true, my canoe fits true. My heart chambers thump like a Mayan war drum. Tomahawk, two clubs combined with four guns. Gather in the Sioux and the Cheyenne too. Can of attack and destroy Mr. You-Know-Who. Being sitting bull, then to put this dude in the ditch. Wrap him in buckskin this night on June 25th. The Nina would be bound and the slam to the ground. The painter would be sunk and nowhere to be found. The Santa Maria would be safe and sound. Forced to make a war, Navy had to turn around.
This was the stand, yeah, we finished the land. Little Bighorn, grand of a tormented man. Little Bighorn, boy, and his own moccasins ripped torn. No junk if you fall out of the Little Bighorn stand, yeah, we finished the land. Little Bighorn, grand of a tormented man. Little Bighorn, boy, and his own moccasins ripped torn. No junk if you fall out of the Little Bighorn.
The war is the tomorrow time. They say this was born to be brave to face war when it's prime. At age 14, my first reign on blade and base of blood with hair and brain. So heaven awaits the lives I take. A waste of an hour respecting race. So I serenade the winds to calm with winds from the control form. Now I become the leader of this strong warrior society. You know a solid eater, a fearless chief with no need to speak either. A deaf shepherd, protector of my sacred land. Refuse to move, a sitting bull, selfish guild and scout fools. You felt they got fools. So I gather my crew, the code of Cheyenne and a rapper holds true. It's Sundance Division 2, now 503,000 more. When it's all out war, soon the fate of Custer will be no more.
You consider yourself to be a this was a stand, yeah, we finished the land. Little Bighorn, plan for the tormented man. Little Bighorn, boy, and his own moccasins ripped torn. No junk if you fall out of the Little Bighorn stand, yeah, we finished the land. Little Bighorn, plan for the tormented man. Little Bighorn, boy, and his own moccasins ripped torn. No junk if you fall out of the Little Bighorn.
I challenge the annals of warfare to produce a more brilliant or successful charge of cavalry.
From the broken into pieces that I fastened in the blocks, I built a tower to the heavens, name it lights at the top. Here is Custer, not the average buster, it's Custer. Thrust the regiment into a fire pit for the heck of it. Back from suspension, tracking them engines, back with a vengeance. Crack goes the weapon, so when science tries the metal, get destroyed like the village of Chief Black Kettle. Could I be more brutal? Reno Vinking and McDougal, I'm trying to find a knife, but for the crazy horse funeral, the crazy horse funeral. brain just in the face and sitting bull would like to see me sitting in a pool of my own blood. No love but so what? Move up towards Rosebud. 5 folks to my command available. I'm sword-handed, broken, doubt, issue the warning, but I'm fixed on this and can't miss it. Send for some action if my flag goes down today. It's with honor that I'm past.
This was the sand that we finished the land. Little big horn plan for my tormented man. Little big horn board and he ain't home. Pockets his wrist torn. No junk if you fall. No battle of little big horn sand that we finished the land. Little big horn plan for my tormented man. Little big horn board and he ain't home. Pockets his wrist torn. No junk if you fall. No battle of little big horn.
Together you got smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Red Cloud, the Battle of Little Bighorn. That one's probably not going to get a movie anytime soon. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, I'm a hater. It's long established. I mean, I've got a back catalog of hate piled on top of hate, piled on top of hate, on top of hate, piled on top of that hate. I hate a little injustice. You know, I find it galling, some of the things that are glaring when it comes to what happens to some people and what happens to other people. For example, y'all remember, what's the heifer's name? Kimberly Davis. She's the Kentucky clerk who spent 5 days in jail for refusing to issue marriage license to same-sex couples. And, you know, this heifer, she just asked the federal appeals court Tuesday to dismiss her appeal of a judge's ruling because of a new state law that will take effect magically next month. What is the new law? Well, in April, the state legislature of Kentucky, looking out for their peeps, approved a new law removing the county clerk's names and authorizations from state marriage license. So, Davis says the law accommodates her religious beliefs and makes her appeals unnecessary. And so in the news release, the heifer, Kim Davis, thanked state lawmakers, Republican Governor Matt Bevin, and her attorney, and Jesus Christ, who she said redeemed me and is my solid rock on which I stand. And I am pleased that I can continue to serve my community as the Rowan County Clerk without having to sacrifice my religious convictions and conscience. Yeah. Then Davis was elected as a Democrat but switched to a Republican after her incarceration. And she'll be up for re-election in 2018, which, of course, I'm thinking that she's probably going to win in a landslide. Now, I bring this up because, you know, one, they passed the law so that people like Kim Davis in particular can hate on folks. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Now, we go into Microsoft. They're going into the marijuana business. Microsoft going into forces with Kind Financial, a company that makes software for the cannabis industry, and they're going to help state and local officials track marijuana sales. So essentially, Microsoft's Azure government service will help ensure that legal sales of cannabis are above board, meaning the money that's supposed to go to the rich folks will go to the rich folks, and the poor folks selling weed, nah, y'all can't get none. Now, I bring this up because of all the people who are still locked up behind weed-related charges, marijuana-related charges, whichever one you want to call it. No laws that were put on the book that would kick them out of jail. But Kim Davis, who was hating on people, gets a whole law that circumvents her, you know, her hate and allows her to flourish still, and she's up and eligible for a re-election. Yeah. So while you think of all, and I mean, and race obviously is involved here, you think of all the black folks who locked up in jail over weed, which we know by and large is a harmless drug. It just makes you sleepy and want to eat something. No hate involved there. But no law that comes to save those locked up for a drug that does nothing to anybody. And we have Kim Davis, who basically was hating on people. Now, I mean, I don't really respect man's religion. You know, the whole man part in the religion, I'm not feeling it. I mean, because the whole I'm killing and I'm hating on you in the name of love and the Lord, I don't quite understand that contradiction. I don't think any time on earth that I'm here and I'm conscious and lucid that I will ever get the whole I got to kill in the name of my Lord. I got to hate on you in the name of my Lord, my God. Not going to understand that. But the contradiction that come with Microsoft, who's now endorsing the marijuana business because it can make them money, and not the poor folks who were selling it in the first place, which is basically what the play has been about. They've taken over the industry and taken it from poor people and put it into their hands legally. Because we know billionaires have been financing the drug trade forever, illegally. And now they can just be out in the open with it and make all the money. And you still can go to jail for it in certain states. Yeah. It is the worst thing ever and one of the greatest contradictions going. In the meantime, down in Mississippi, you know, some of y'all seen that terrible movie, Mississippi Burning, where they make it like the FBI was the heroes, whatnot, coming to save everybody in a case that they never solved. So basically what happened was Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood says the decision to close the case closes a chapter in the state's divisive civil rights history. Now, if you don't know, June 29th, 1964, the FBI had done an investigation, well, started an investigation on the disappearance of Michael Schwerner, 24, of New York, James Chaney, 21, from Mississippi, and Andrew Goodman, 20, of New York, who were civil rights workers who disappeared during Mississippi's Freedom Summer. They were never found. Most folks in the know in Mississippi know who did it, because it probably was like a public lynching. But doesn't matter, because nobody's gonna tell. And Attorney General Jim Hood says the evidence has been degraded by memory over time, and so there's no individuals that are living now that we can make a case on at this point. He said, however, that if new information comes forward because of the announcement that the case is closed, prosecutors could reconsider and pursue a case. But what we're talking about here is that whole lack of justice, and we're not going to look for it when everybody knows who did it down there. Just not saying, they say, well, they're dead. But the relatives don't want to have to go through the shame. Well, not that they'd be shamed, because shit, they was proud of that shit, and they're still proud of the good work that the good old KKK, the number one terrorist organization in the world, and I would dare say the longest living terrorist cell in the world. I don't think there's a terrorist organization that has been around longer than the KKK. I mean, we're talking about the KKK has been around since the late 19th century. Like, what, about 1866? 67? So, these dudes have been doing it for a long time. I mean, obviously, when we talk about terrorists, we talk about somebody else. We talk about justice, we talk about something else. Like last time, we talked about judges and how they can affect a case. I mean, and lawmakers in particular. This is a prime example. Once again, prosecutors close the case. No worries. Everybody's dead, so it's no biggie. So the families never got closure, never will get closure, because it's not important that you lost your family members in their youth. All that's not important. You know, what is important? Try to take a gander at it. What is important is the fact that, hey, it's over. The division that was this case was causing, it's done, because we closed it. So that's it. No more. You don't even have to worry about it no more. It's how justice goes in America. It's not even about just us. We're talking about a system that says, hey, your justice doesn't matter. Be happy we let you live. On that note, I want to thank you all for listening. This is another Smooth Drawn production. I am Mr. F the N-Word. Shout out to my homie Angel, who cannot shoot a finger roll from the free throw line. And I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands
up. Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.